I'm Julie Bullitt. I've been a family therapist for over 30 years.
I'm David Bullitt. I've been a divorce and family lawyer for more than 35 years.
Together, we have been married for more than 37 years.
In our professional practices, the two of us have been witnesses to individuals and families struggling with life's most difficult challenges. In this podcast, we will talk about the conversations we have had,
the conversations we should have had,
and those that every relationship needs to have in order to find success, happiness, and fulfillment.
This is Conversations for Couples,
the podcast. So there's panting. Panting in the background, which I guess is what should be for tonight's episode.
It's kind of appropriate for the topic, but anyway, it's not DB or I panting. No, it is our golden retriever.
It's a dog panting, which is, you know, just what we do on this show. We just have our dog, now dogs. We'll talk more about two dogs in another episode. But so the panting is not you, unfortunately,
no.
And definitely not me. So, but no, tonight we're to borrow from Shakespeare, it's to porn or not to porn?
That is the question.
That is a question. There's a lot of opinions, a lot of issues. And just to sort of, you know, sort of set the table a little bit, we've talked about this, you know, somewhat before, you know, when we grew up, or when I grew up, you know, porn was being able to look at a Playboy magazine or to, you know, maybe you caught a little side boob on a bikini and
Sports Illustrated,
Gilligan's Island with with whoever it was, but that's changed.
Yes,
now it's mainstream, and now all you have to do is have a computer, right?
And sometimes you even get a peek on the computer if you put in a wrong word.
I mean it's very easy
to access porn.
Yeah, you have to put up protections for your kids, and if you happen to look at one thing, then you're getting 8 million emails about it. So it's very different, and it's also a lot more prevalent, a lot more acceptable, which may or may not be a good thing. We can talk a little bit about that, but so let's talk first about, you know, reasons why it's not good, and I don't mean not good societally, I mean not good in a relationship. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'll start off with just, a couple. I've worked with several people, and porn has become an issue in the relationship because there's too much porn and not enough intimacy, sex within the couple.
You mean one partner watching a lot of porn?
Yes.
And that takes them away from the relationship with their partner?
Yeah. And it could be sort of a chicken and egg thing. What happened first? Was their sex life not good so that the person turned to porn? Or did they turn to porn and that created less of a desire in the relationship in the bedroom? So that.
Because they'd already taking care of themselves?
Correct.
I mean, I'd laugh about that.
Correct.
But that's what you're saying.
Yes, correct.
Okay.
But I've worked with more than one couple that porn has been an issue in terms of using too much porn, masturbation, and not enough intimacy in the bedroom.
So for the person, let's talk about that, you know, this couple, hypothetical couple. Let's make it a hypothetical couple.
David. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. That's very funny.
Let's say
his name is Albert.
Okay, Albert.
Albert is looking at a lot of porn during the course of the day. Mm-hmm. And he and his spouse, let's say he and his wife in this particular example, and let's make her name Bernadette.
Bernadette.
A and a B.
Okay.
Albert and Bernadette.
Okay.
So Albert and Bernadette aren't having a lot of sex. Does Bernadette know that Albert is watching porn?
In one of the cases, the wife did know, and one of the cases, the wife didn't know.
So in a situation where the partner, and this in our hypothetical example, Bernadette knows that Albert is watching a lot of porn and they're not having sex. Mm-hmm. A couple questions. One, does that upset her? Or does she not really care about having sex anyway? And she looks at it like, well, it keeps him off of me. Or is there some other answer to it?
Yeah. So I think kind of a mix of both, which is like disappointment that they're not intimate, but also there was some issues, some physical issues that Bernadette was having that was making, you know, is sex difficult for her.
So is that why Albert turned to pornography?
In theory.
Okay. And so that's not necessarily a bad thing because he didn't turn to somebody else.
Well, that, yeah. I mean, that's a good, that's a, I guess that's a positive, a silver lining, if you will. But what happened in this, you know, couple that I was working with, not named Albert and Bernadette, by the way.
I like those names.
Yeah, those are good names. It just became a vacant kind of, you know, thing in their relationship. And this, the Albert was using porn and then they just stopped even trying. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think if Albert hadn't turned to porn, that maybe they would have, you know, maybe they could have gone to a doctor. Maybe they could have tried other things besides, you know, there's other things besides intercourse that are, you know, sex, you know.
There
sex.
Are?
Yeah. There
are. We won't do that on this episode. No, okay. Okay. So in that particular circumstance, mm-hmm. Bernadette was upset that Albert had turned to pornography mm-hmm. instead of her, despite the fact that she, it was uncomfortable for her.
Correct.
And what you're suggesting is that they could have, you know, by doing what we say, one of the C's that you need to do, which is communicate, they could have talked about mm-hmm. how to get a sort of work their way around as opposed to him clicking on
the computer or the iPad or whatever it was.
Okay. Yeah. So it also seems to me that there are certain couples where some partners just find it offensive. They don't like it. They don't mm-hmm. want it to be part of their lives, right? Yeah. That can cause a problem.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think we've talked to people before that, you know, one of them, you know, likes porn and the other feels, you know, sort of appalled or repulsed by it.
Yeah, and as part of that also, wouldn't someone potentially feel like you have to, do you feel like you're missing something? Mm-hmm. Is that why you have to look at that?
Right, right. Like I'm not enough.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. So that's a negative. The other thing that we've talked about before is sometimes porn sets up examples of unrealistic expectations, sure. right? Like, sure. you know, different shots that they do and different ways that they look. And I mean, you know, okay. during the winter, I don't shave my legs a lot and
You wouldn't make it in the movies.
I probably would be cast in one of those porn movies.
Well, you might make it in like a movie where people like hairy legs.
Well, that's true. That's true. But what I'm saying is that like there's a lot of activities that are unrealistic and a lot of the ways that people look that are unrealistic that porn, you know, may cause an issue.
Well, I think particularly with a generation of people who have grown up with it, right? I mean, for us and maybe a generation younger, you know, that didn't grow up with it so much, but saw some other things and now see this. We have a better understanding. That's just not how it always goes.
Right.
Whereas someone who's grown up with it and sees that regularly, that might be an expectation. You know, this is how we're supposed to do it.
Right.
And this is how it's supposed to look and how it's supposed to sound.
Yes.
And we all know, who have done it, that it doesn't necessarily sound, look or feel that way.
Correct.
Not every time anyway.
Yes, that's very true.
Yeah, so that sets people up for disappointment.
Yeah, unrealistic expectations.
Absolutely. Yes. And that it seems to me again can cause problems between people.
Yeah.
So I mean, I was involved in a case many years ago, and this was on the early, you know, the earlier, I say porn, earlier porn time frame, because you know, porn dates back to the beginning of man. It's just it's just different. But, and I'm not talking about little peep shows in New York City, that sort of thing. But early when you used to be able to buy videos, you go to the video store, you could buy videos. And my client would complain that every time they had sex, every time, not even 9 times out of 10, but every time it had to be some scenario that he had seen or viewed or heard of. Mm-hmm. And they couldn't just get in bed, you know, and just sort of roll around,
cuddle and let it happen. Yeah.
It all had to be, you know, she was the waitress who just got out of prison, you know, that kind of, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
That combines two sort of.
Yeah.
But it had to be every time. And I think that while some people, you know, we look at sex as intimacy, too much pornography probably minimizes that intimacy, don't you think?
Yeah. Yeah, I think again, it sets up a high bar that can't possibly sustain.
No, you definitely can't. And I think that's really the problem. That's the biggest problem of all, is that it's not sustainable and it's not realistic.
Right.
It might be realistic, you know, one night in, you know, in September.
Right.
Or it might be realistic, let's try this or let's do that.
Right. Right. And I see, so you're, we're sort of broaching now on the positives.
Yeah, the positives. That's right. Yeah. Okay. So we've talked about the negatives, the over-reliance on it, the reduction of intimacy, pressure that it causes, all that kind of stuff. Okay.
And makes you feel bad. Are you missing something? Are you not good enough? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's interesting, by the way, usually you're the one that goes off track and I jumped ahead here a little bit and you brought me back in. I'm like,
I love that.
Yeah, that's cool.
That I can show you the way.
That's
awesome.
Okay. So let's talk about the other side, right?
Yeah.
Or the other end, not the other end, the other side. Talk about the other side. You know, can it be a positive?
Yeah, absolutely. It can help spice up a relationship. It can help couples explore, you know, possible avenues of things to try. It can be exciting if you're having a little bit of a, you know, dry spell.
This is really bad. A lot of double entendres right here.
If you're having a little, you know, downward spiral into your relationship where you feel like it's boring, a little porn might actually spice things up, might add to it. So there is some positives. If somebody's not in the mood, then pornography could be used by that person.
Yeah, spice things up.
Yeah.
Do something different. Let's try, let's both do. So, but in that circumstance, people would be doing it together.
Well,
in
theory, but also let's just say somebody has a higher sex drive and the, you know, that person wants to use pornography to help
the other.
To help them, you know, with their, you know, reach their orgasm and not bother their partner.
Okay. Or alternatively, you know, help the partner feel more
in the
engaged.
Mood. Yeah. 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 Okay. I mean, it can work both ways. So there's times that porn can, you know, be healthy or be, you know, healthy in a relationship or be helpful.
I mean, it can be fun. I mean, it can be a fun thing. Mm-hmm. People can make fun, you know, make a fun thing out of it, right?
Yeah, yeah. But I think that the comfort is the big issue is, and the respect around it, right? Like if you're into porn, but I'm not, then you need to listen to what I'm saying and you need to be respectful and there's no right or wrong. I mean, we could argue both sides of the fence really here.
Well, I think it comes back to being able to talk to each other about, you know, what you want, what you're comfortable with. Mm-hmm. And if you don't like it or you're not comfortable with it, being able to say that, but at the same time, understanding that your partner might feel differently. And that doesn't mean that that person is wrong.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Right? So I also want to say that a lot of people have feelings about porn based on how they were raised. You know, what families think of porn, what religious, you know, beliefs you have. So sometimes that needs to be a factor. And it's not just like, oh, it's, you know, chocolate ice cream. And do people like chocolate or do they not? I think you need to pay attention and be respectful around, you know, what do you bring from your background, your, you know, growing up, you know, around sex and around pornography.
Well, I mean, I think that's very true. I mean, that's another piece of the continuum where some people were raised and still are to some degree. I'm quite certain, although it may not be what it was, you know, 75 years ago in the 1950s or 40s or before that, you know, sex is not necessarily something to be enjoyed. That's now sex is something to make babies, to build our family. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, that's sort of, you know, it goes further down the continuum from that.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, and people do have religious bases and really come to the table feeling differently because of how they were raised, both, you know, from a religious perspective or a non-sectarian perspective, really.
Right, right. Yeah. So what you were taught when you were younger and, you know, what your experience has been. And I think the underlining thing is it's not good or bad. It's what you want it to be.
Right. It's a balance, right?
Is
that really, you know, you don't want to significantly rely on it, but at the same time, if you both are willing, it's something you could try.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I would say as a therapist for couples coming in to have discussions around it. But if one of you feels particularly uncomfortable with it, that really needs to be addressed and be respected.
Okay, but I get that 1,000,000%. But for the person who really wants to use it mm-hmm. and says, okay, well, we won't do it together, but I may still watch on my own.
Right.
That should also be respected, shouldn't it?
Yes, it should be respected. And then I will do a disclaimer around pornography can be addicting.
Right.
And just like alcohol, just right. like drugs, just like shopping, just like gambling, yeah. you can, you know, there's a lot of dopamine that happens when you watch porn. And then, of course, when you have an orgasm, that's dopamine. And it's easy to get addicted to pornography.
Because it feels good.
And it feels good. So that's sort of my disclaimer. Like you need to, everything in moderation, right? Like just be careful around how much you're using it. And is it taking the place of something else?
Yeah, no, it can't take the place. I mean, it just can't. That's so contrary to what we want people to think about in terms of their relationship. Mm-hmm. It can't take the place. It can enhance if both people are comfortable.
Yes.
It can work for one person and not for another, mm-hmm. assuming they both respect how each other feel and mm-hmm. know that that's, you know, that they feel differently.
Mm-hmm.
But replace, that's not gonna happen.
We both agree on that.
We both agree on that and we've been disclaimed. So there you have it. To porn or not to porn.
That is the question. Weigh in. What do you guys think? Send us a message, DM, send us an email. Let us know. We can be reached on The Bullets at Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, our website, The Bullets,
TikTok,
TheBullets.com. And we also have a subscribe button somewhere if you're watching or listening. And we would love for you to subscribe to our podcast.
Please do. Yep. Please subscribe. Give us a listen. Give us a thumbs up. This is a tough world out there, the world of podcasting, but we're hoping that we're bringing something a little bit different from a different perspective, being who we are, not just two parents, but also with our different backgrounds. And we look at things differently. Although tonight, I think we kind of looked at things a lot the same, which is very unique, actually, if you've heard the first 6 or 7 of our episodes. Anyway, that is our show for tonight. We will see you next time on Conversations for Couples,
the podcast.
Julie Bullitt is a professionally licensed clinical social worker and family therapist. David Bullitt is a divorce and family lawyer. Julie is not your therapist, and David is not your lawyer. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only.